welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. We've been listening to Sean Miller at his press conference from today, talking a lot about what his team needs to improve on, Baylor, and some of his players on what they need to do. Let's resume to this, and we'll get back to you on the other side.
We're preparing. I'm sure they're preparing, but it should be an exciting big game, Saturday night game towards the holiday season. Again, you start getting teams from the Big 12 Conference on your home court. It's a pivotal game for both conferences and both teams, and you know, hopefully we're going to be ready.
I think it's the only super late game this year. I was wondering, your guys will be done with finals by Saturday. How do you change your routine at all, if at all, when you have that much time and keeping the guys maybe, you know, fresh without, you know, not playing till 9 o'clock?
You know, we've played two really morning games back-to-back Sundays. You know, there's some teams that don't play a morning game all year. We've played two of them in a row, and we've traveled. So we've been in Maui, which just because of the time change in Maui, those times certainly can be different. You get used to it. You know, playing in the evening, whether it's at 8 or 9, 7 to 9, I don't think it means a whole lot to our players. You know, I feel bad for our fans because it makes it for a late night, but you know, it's a home game. It is a Saturday night. It's not a weekday. And hopefully we're going to have, you know, Mikhail with our best crowd of our early season.
Three games you guys have lost, Sean, you haven't been able to get to the line as much. Have you seen any consistencies there in not maybe being as aggressive offense, or just not maybe not getting calls in those particular games?
No, some of it has to do with the competition. You have to credit, you know, Gonzaga and Auburn in particular. You know, their defenses are outstanding, and we weren't able to create those foul opportunities. Really felt the same way against Alabama, except a lot of it was self-inflicted. We became a jump shooting team. You know, not just threes, but some of our twos are just 15-foot, 17-foot pull-ups. Can't really say we didn't get the ball inside, because Chase Jeter had maybe his best overall offensive night. And when he got it, he scored it. We could maybe have gotten it to him even a little bit more. But, you know, what we didn't have is strong drives, second shots, players attacking the basket after movement. And when you rely on jump shots, it can be a very inconsistent feeling. But you're right. You know, we've traditionally done a good job of getting to the free throw line, and when you can't get there, that hurts, and that hurt us in the Alabama game.
Well, Ira, what else are you looking for from the bench players? Maybe it seemed like maybe you could have got more help there in Alabama.
Well, we're better when our bench plays well. We're a team that really depends on everybody who enters the game contributing. We don't have an iron five. I've said it from the onset. You know, there's not as big of a difference in ability between players 6 and 7, 8. Than maybe 3, 4, and 5. And we can make that to our advantage, but, you know, whether you start the game or you sub in, we just need players in our team to do the things that we're good at and to contribute. Scoring doesn't necessarily have to be the reason that we win or lose because of our bench. You know, our bench doesn't have to produce 25 points. But what we need is guys to come in the game and help us. And it wasn't just our bench, it was everybody. We just didn't play as well as we were capable. And in a game like that, we needed to play our best, or a version of the best that we can be. And I thought we did that in a number of games already. But, you know, energy, everything that you really want, I can't really say we checked the box in any one thing in the Alabama game.
Yes. You've outscored opponents 8 of 10 times in the second half. The first halves have been a little slower, especially recently. Are you concerned at all about the splits on that, like maybe not coming out as strong?
Mm-hmm. Yep, from the 16-minute mark of the first half to like the 10-minute mark, 8-minute mark of the first half, we've just been destroyed the last two games. I mean, the point discrepancy is plus 20-some, maybe more. And, you know, we're looking at combinations that we have in the game at that time. But you're right. I mean, we've dug ourselves a hole, I believe, of minus 21 points in both first halves. Against Utah Valley, we were down 12. Against Alabama, we rallied to be down 9. And if you look at the second halves, the opposite was true. But you know, sometimes that happens. It's just maybe a two-game shot, but we're well aware of being outscored in the first half, and who's in the game when that happens is the only concern. And kind of looking at that combination of maybe not subbing as much, subbing, you know, earlier, but that stretch has hurt us for sure.
Said about that, comparing seeing a team on film and that you actually have to play against them for a few minutes, and that the halftime adjustments, that just puts extra emphasis on because you saw it right up front and that's why you can do more?
No, not really. We've been great at the beginning of the game. First 4 minutes really in all 10 games. I don't have it in front of me, but we're a good starting team. We've been a good starting team on the road. We've been a good starting team at home. Same thing the beginning of second halves. In each of the last two games, it's a big reason why we got back into a hard-fought game, because the first 4 minutes of the second half at Alabama and against Utah Valley really favored us. So, you know, that starting group, the first four-minute segments of both halves have been good. But no doubt, in the first half of the last couple of games, and I would even say throughout the year, it's that 16 to 12-minute mark that we got our eye on.
How do you weigh that against Sean in the aspect? I think last week you talked about how you felt like maybe Luther gives you a little bit more offense off the bench versus starting, but maybe Emmanuel's your better defensive player. Maybe he fits better in that range you're talking about, because some of your issues in that range have been defensively. I mean, is that something you look at?
Yeah, and it's been offensively too. And it's really been both. We just have not played well in those segments recently, but we tend to sub like a wholesale sub at that time, you know, two, three guys. I don't know if we've subbed four. Maybe we have. But, you know, sometimes not doing that at that point could be part of the solution. And we're working at that for sure. But, you know, that's what the non-conference season's about. You know, you're trying to win every game for sure. I know that. But you just don't, no matter who you are, you just don't know your team nearly as well until you get to about this time, which you got 10 games under your belt, you know, over 40 practices, the entire fall semester you've been together, and as you enter Christmas and get ready for conference play, I think at that point you're pretty sure of who you are, what you have, and maybe some things that we need to do better. So that's what this week helps us do. We've had it awkward last 2 weeks because of the long travel for those two road games, and I think all of us feel good about just being here for the entire week leading up to Baylor, and hopefully that'll help us.
Well, there you have it. Well, I think we're going to probably stop there for a while and maybe get back to it later. But very interesting. I thought one of the good questions was from Brian Peterson, who does some internet work. He had a question about their bad first halves and his concerns. Obviously, he's very concerned of them not playing very well in the first half and them coming back and playing well in the second half. But historically, and I want to say every now and again, if that's not the right word, is historically, his teams have suffered in the first half and they come back and win games in the second half, which is not a good sign when you don't have that great of a team, and you can't have that happen all the time.
No, he's very to the point there when he was saying, yes, we need to work on the defense, but the whole team needs to come together here.
Yeah.
It wasn't like pointing his finger at one thing.
The one thing about it, he's brilliant when it comes to numbers, and he uses numbers very well. He knows exactly how many practices he's had, how much time, who has missed, and he talked about the first half from the, I think, 16-minute mark to the 8-minute mark, exactly the plus and minuses of where the team's at in terms of playing well and not playing well. He talks about numbers all the time.
On the average, do you have any idea how many specific plays will he call? Do they typically, are they like right after a timeout, or can he, if they get a rebound, is he yelling out a play?
Yeah, that's what he does. He's very structured that way. In the past, for sure, he's let him play a little bit more this year than in the past, although he'll argue that. But they're running more. But he is a play guy. They watch to him to see what they're going to set up.
And what's the percentage, you think, of the times they run it down the court that he's calling out a specific play? 50%, 25%, 75%?
99%.
Really?
That's my guesstimate. I could be wrong, but it's that big. Yeah. It might be an exaggeration, but it's a lot of the time.
I had no idea.
Because it's very rare that they go on break, you know, when they get the rebound and move fast. It's very rare. This year it's happened a few times, but historically, they kind of, if they don't have that, they set it up. Huh. They set it up and do the play, run the play.
Now, does he have a coordinator or whatever upstairs that can look down?
No, they're all down there.
They're right there. They can see everything they need.
Right. That's what they do. They're in the court. And they adjust. He's one of the better adjustments in the second half. So, hey, well, let's go to break. I think we're going to get a call here from Sean Mooney, and then we'll take most of the time on the other side with Sean.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tankerverde Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
Honey, are you ready to start the movie?
Ready. I was just getting popcorn and wine. Here you go. Oh, and the remote control.
I have the remote.
Not this one. This one shuts all the new shades at the push of a button. Voila.
Amazing.
They're also on all the hard-to-reach windows throughout the house. They even have an automatic timer. In fact, they're shutting for the night right now.
Well, you're incredible.
I'll drink to that.
Call locally owned Budget Blinds in Tucson at 790-6180. Budget Blinds.
Hey Tucson, it's John and Cheryl Hulcock with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. We would like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I'll sell you a home for Christmas.
Really, honey?
You can count on us.
So call us at 520-342-6586 for all your real estate needs.
Anyway, join us in celebrating the reason for the season, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in, all offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030 AM. Right now, I think we're going to go to the phone lines and talk to Sean Mooney. Are you there, Sean? How you doing, good buddy, old pal?
Yeah. Well, I thought my intro was going to be a little bit better, but I'll take it.
Well, we didn't take next time we'll take suggestions from the peanut gallery. How are you?
Leo, a long-time broadcaster, dear friend of mine. I'm good.
I'm good.
Well, I'm glad to see you got your show going. It's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. I was telling Bob here, Bob Dio, that you and I had a show for a while, about 10, 11, 12 years ago. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say this wasn't the first time we've been on the radio together. It was when we were doing summer relief at the casino. We did a show, so that was a good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Talked about a lot of different subjects. I wanted to talk to you about your history and some sports that we've covered together and just your life in the media business. I know you've kind of done a lot of news, and you're doing news now, but you've done some news at other places. Do you like news better than you do sports?
It's funny because my career has been, not what you described as, a common path. I went to the U of A. I grew up here in Tucson, and then I went to the U of A. And when I graduated with a radio television degree. They had them back then. And my plan was I had been working in a restaurant, so then I was saving up money. I graduated in December, and I was going to go to Los Angeles and try and get in with one of the networks. They called them pages back then. But when I graduated, they were doing a show out here, and you probably remember it. It was called The Baseball Bunch.
Yes.
And Johnny Bench was the host with a bunch of these kids, and they shot it here in Tucson. And a professor of mine knew that, I wasn't going to school. I graduated and said, hey, I think they're hiring production assistants. It might be a good experience for you to get on with them. And so he gave me the phone number of this guy, and I called him up. And he said, gee, sorry, we already hired everybody we need. And I said, yeah, but is anybody local? Do they know Tucson? I just didn't stop talking. And finally he said, look, come down here. They were staying at some hotel. And I showed up in a way too fat tie and the resume with the plastic cover on it. And I just kept talking until he hired me. And that was the start. So, I just wanted to get into broadcasting. That was my plan. And it's funny how it, I like sports, but I just wanted to get in. And so that was my road. And I worked for them for about 6 weeks on the show. And when they went back to New York, every time somebody would come out from there, I just would say, hey, if anything opens up, let me know. And about 2 weeks after they left, they called me and said, if you can get out here to New York, we'll give you a job. And so that's how it all started. So I know a long way around to that question, but I wasn't planning on getting into news, and I remember, which is funny, I actually was an intern at Channel 4 in college, and I remember doing news there, how the news would work there, and I said, I never want to get into this business. I'm definitely going to get into something else, and it's full circle.
Right, right. Well, you know how the sausage is made. News is not a pretty thing. It's a fun thing because nothing is the same every day, but it's a lot of hours. Like I said about the newspaper business and the journalism business, the best thing is about the hours. The worst thing are the hours.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not most people that get into it, they certainly aren't people that are looking for a 9-to-5 job because you never – That never works. You're either waking up too early or you're staying up too late.
Yeah.
And I've worked both ends of that. Along the way, I worked with the WWF, WWE.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting. I did that for about 5 years. And then, the path took me into getting into news. I was still in the New York area, and the television station there, WWOR, that carried the Mets, they were looking for feature reporters. So I, always been a pretty good storyteller, and I drove in a blizzard down to that station. This is after I left the WWE, and the guy figured I showed up, they'd give me a shot.
Right.
And so I started doing features for them. That was my first exposure to news after I'd worked, for Major League Baseball productions for 6 years, and then I worked with the WWF for 5, and they just sent me out there to do these features. And so that was kind of my entry. And it was like Wally Pipp, one night, anchor. They had one anchor. They did a 9 o'clock newscast, and the anchor, she used to get really bad migraines. And literally, she could not go on. And I was supposed to go on the set that night and introduce a feature piece. And they said, we're going to need you out there a little longer tonight. And I actually did an hour of live television with a teleprompter. And all I remember is there was this stack of script in front of me. You got to imagine an hour's worth of news scripts. And I just remember paper just flying everywhere. I mean, if that prompter would have gone down, I don't know what the heck it would have done.
Right. But you make a great point.
That was the start of it.
You make a great point. One, that you were persistent in what you wanted to do. You kind of were over-aggressive in terms of maybe the baseball bunch. And then again, again with your other job where you have to go out and kind of make yourself known. I don't know if kids today do that often enough.
Yeah, I don't, and I've tried to pass that along. I've never claimed to be the most talented. I never, thought I was the most creative, but one thing no one could beat me at is the fact that I just kept getting up.
Right.
And I just kept, and anytime an opportunity came, I said, sure.
Right.
I'm in. And, if you look at my career path, it's been a wild one, but it has been certainly interesting.
Well, I'm right behind you in that because it's all about, as someone said the word gig economy, we have a bunch of gigs that make one nice gig and we enjoy what we do.
Yeah. No, it was, and you just have to be adaptable. To me, it's always been, and I know people like to say, they're journalists and knowing me,
sure.
When I worked with doing stuff for Fox Sportsnet, that it's all about entertaining people. I mean, you've got to keep their attention, and it's that means you put something on the screen or you tell a story and I've always been a storyteller, so that's really what it comes down to. It's a certainly a different situation when you're doing news. It's factual. You got to get it right. But to me, it's still about telling stories, and that's pretty much the way it's always been.
Right. The word I wanted to go with you with, and today with me, was talking about some of the better stories you've done in your career, maybe concentrating on Arizona, because you did work for Fox Sports Arizona for a while, Fox Sports Net. I worked for Fox Sports Arizona for a while. And there was a lot of times when you had time to do stories, not just this 20-second bite and get out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you'll remember when I showed up, Fox Sportsnet, as it was known at the time, was expanding. They had already been up in Phoenix doing the Diamondback games, and then they got deals with the universities, and one of them was with U of A. And I had just come back, and I had a friend of mine who was working for them up in Phoenix, and said, what are you going to do? And I wasn't really sure at the time. I was planning on maybe going out to Los Angeles. I've been given a bunch of opportunities to go out to an audition for things, but my family was here, and at one time, both sets of grandparents, and I had, three young children. So they said, well, we want you to help us establish our territory down there as far as covering the U of A. And it was really like, whatever you can do. And when I got there, they didn't let us really, everything was a gangbang interview and everything was, and they didn't really let you get to people. Well, Fox Sportsnet had a deal with the U of A. So in some ways, and I got a lot of grief for this early on because they always thought I was overstepping my bounds. And of course, my nature, but, I needed a lot of material. We did a show every week, which was a magazine show. And then also, I had to do reports and file features. We had the Arizona Sports Report. That was five nights a week that they did. So I needed a lot of material, and I really pushed the envelope. I was asking, why can't I get these guys one-on-one interviews? And so then they said, I don't know. And then so they started letting me do these interviews, and it took a long time to get that trust with them. With Tom and Rich and those guys, that were in the athletics department there. But I think once they started seeing the stories that I was doing and that, I could tell a good story with these guys, they started letting me have more and more access. And we did get to do some great stories. I mean, I remember, Antoine Kaysen one of my favorite stories was with him was, he had that Mustang that he loved. And, everything else up to that point, it was the stories. If you could do a sit down with them, that was your feature. But I'm like, you love this Mustang. Let's go for a ride. And, ended up going in his Mustang and he took care of that thing. I'm sure you remember.
Yeah.
And that thing was, I wonder if he still has it because that was mint.
Right.
And then end up going back to his place, and it was awesome. You know, it was just awesome.
Yeah. Let's go to break here, and we'll come back and talk more about maybe some of the time you had, special time you had with Stoops and some of the other stories that you were able to get maybe an exclusive or two on the other side.
Great. Yeah, I got a great one about Luke and Richard Jefferson.
Yes. Okay. We're going to go to break right now. Thanks.
What? A free oil change?
That's right, a free oil change now through Christmas at Breathe Easy Automotive. We're confident that once you've experienced the Breathe Easy difference, you'll trust us with all of your auto repair needs. That's why we're offering you a free oil change. So check us out. Simply visit our website at breatheeasyauto.com, click on our specials page for offer details, and then make an appointment. Print the coupon and enjoy a free oil change and multi-point inspection on the house. Our gift to you. It's that easy.
Aren't you tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankaverde Road.
Hi, I'm Lorena with La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. Today, many people want healthy options. At La Hacienda, we have many delicious dishes to choose from, like our vegetarian fajitas, mixed vegetables, stir-fried in our special sauce with mushrooms and peppers, served on a sizzling plate. Or try the spinach enchiladas, or the healthy vegetarian burritos, or the green corn tamales. There is too much to list here. Make plans to join us today. La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant, First Avenue and Tangerine, or at LaHaciendaAZ.com.
My heat and air were in a state of disrepair. My drains were clogged. I was really in despair. So I called some guy. You've never seen such a mess. And every time he leaned over, well, you can probably guess. Now I get it done right by Picture Rocks Cooling. They're neat and clean, peachy clean. Really no fooling. Got a problem? Just call up and help is coming. Picture Rocks Cooling.
Hi folks, this is Mario, Dr. Bedoya's son of Dedicated Dental. If you wear dentures or know anyone who wears dentures, we truly hope they're working out well. Dentures are a good solution to missing teeth, but they are not necessarily the best solution. Dentures can cause gagging, sore spots on your gums, they can move around when you chew food, and the food itself doesn't taste the same anymore. That's why so many of Dr. Bedoya's patients are upgrading from dentures and bridges to implants. Implants are the best alternative to natural teeth. Looking at research and statistics is one thing, but when patients share their experience after having implants is much more real and gratifying. They say things like, "I've never thought biting into food would ever feel this good again," or "I haven't felt this confident about eating in years. My teeth feel firm and strong." At Dedicated Dental, that's what we do. Dr. Bedoya and his associates are here to help you live a better life. Call today for your free consultation. Dedicated Dental, 573-1900. That's 573-1900.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
So far, no man has been able to withstand the incredible strength of Crush as he continues
Mooney,
to...
Mooney, why do you waste Heenan. Your time doing the events then? You don't do a good job.
What?
Anybody could do that job.
He would like to...
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball. You're on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. Bob surprised me with his clip. Does that bring back memories?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I've done... some stuff for them recently, and it's been fun in catching up with some of the guys that I work with back in the day. Bobby Heen is no longer with us, and a lot of those guys, Gorilla Monsoon, who I was very close to. But it was a great time of my life, people have stayed in touch over the years. I mean, I left there in '93, and
wow.
So yeah, it's pretty amazing. But I did a couple of DVDs for them, and they bring me back for shows here and there. So it's fun. It's fun to still be part of that family.
Bob threw a curve at me. That was pretty good, Bob. Let's go back to talking about football and basketball. You said you had a pretty good Luke Walton and Richard Jefferson story. I mean, there are a ton of them.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and Steve, you'll remember back then.
We had access.
Yeah, and I remember that there's a vivid, you know, memory that I have. I remember one time that you were walking out of the court with Luke, and he had his arm around you, you know, and you guys were just chatting. And I was thinking, God, you know, it's so funny how things are different now. Back then, you know, and it took a while, you know, for
sure.
me to gain Luke's trust to be able to do a lot of these things. But, you know, they did. They allowed me a lot of access for the shows, and we got to do some great pieces, which, you know, it's a shame that they don't do that as much today because it gave people an opportunity to really get to know these kids,
yes.
you know, and a little bit of their personalities and what they are like. And one opportunity I had, and you'll remember that Luke had that old convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that thing?
Sure
that,
do. The big yeah, ride, the big one.
Yeah, and it was beat up, and I can't remember how it was a caddy or something.
Yeah, it was a caddy.
But he loved that thing. So I thought, what a great story. You know, and you know how close they still are, of course, but Richard and Luke were. So I said, well, I'll get the two of them driving around in this Cadillac through campus. And I put microphones on them, which half of it I couldn't use because Richard was just
cussing all the time.
Going off and doing lewd things. And
yes.
So anyway, they get pulled over by the U of A police that pulls them over. And we're following them in like this, you know, the trail car there with the cameras rolling. And the guy's coming up there. And then, you know, and Richard's not mouthing off, but you know how he was. He was,
sure.
He could be a little bit smart. So the guy ends up, he gives Luke a ticket for something, you know, not stopping for a turn. I can't remember what it was. It was just a great piece, but I remember going, I am going to get a phone call. I know it's coming. and sure enough, Tom Duddleston called me and said, Lute wants to know what happened on his car ride. And fortunately, we were able to kind of cool things off. I think that they were able to take care of the ticket, but, you know, it was a lot of fun back then, and I don't think I would certainly have anywhere near as much fun. And it wasn't easy. I mean, you know,
sure.
But at the same time, you did get that access, and I think that it was great for the fans because they did. And I feel like that during that period of time, you know, they had all those great players. You know, Gilbert Arenas was there. Jason Gardner was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing pieces with him and Channing Frye and
Gene Anderson
was on and on.
Guys. Yeah.
But I think that we were able to really let people, you know, see these guys as who they were, and I missed that part of it. But I really don't miss, and I think it would be very difficult to try and cover them today.
Right, right. No question. It is very difficult. Yeah. In fact, you talk about Luke, one of my favorite players, and even I saw him maybe last year when the Lakers came in, and with you know, I went to a. Went to a pre, you know, to a game, obviously, and we have the time before the game to talk to them. And he pulled me aside as we were finishing. He put his arm around me again. He says, "How's the family, Steve? And how are you doing?" You know, but that's just the type of people that Bill and Suzanne raised. They're good kids,
right?
You know,
yeah, and you know, and that also is a testament to Luke too, because you know, a lot of those guys were just.
Good
really
guys.
Good people,
yeah.
Not just good players.
Yeah.
They were good people, and that was always a part of, you know, as far as Luke bringing these players to the U of A, and that made it, you know, more fun because they were really outstanding personalities as
right.
well.
Right. It's funny you say that because I can't remember how many times I heard Luke say, you know, you bring in bad people, they'll mess things up. You bring in good people, they'll win titles for you or they'll win a lot of games for you. And that could be said for any business, too. You know, you bring bad character or bad disgruntled people into the system and they just, you know, they kind of they spread that attitude.
Yeah. But, you know, Lute was great. It, like I said, it took a while for me to get in with having the access that he gave me. But I went on that trip to Vancouver. That he allowed me in that. I mean, just full access. There was no restrictions or anything on that. And that, to me, when that happened, I really felt like that I had reached a point with that program where I felt like they really trusted me in the stories and what we were putting out.
I think the best example of that would be the when I think Stoops let you in for the season, and you had complete access to that. I guess what turned out to be a horrible season.
Yeah, well, you know that started with Makovic. Though Makovic let me.
Well, Makovic.
That's true. But Mike, to his credit too, he let me keep doing it. But you know, when Makovic was there, and you know, I went to him and sold him on the idea, and that was a wild boy. That was just, you know, he told me. I remember at the beginning of the season, I said, "Look, tell me what we can't do," and he said, "Well, when that happens, I'll let you know." And I remember that, you know, we had cameras all over the place. If people remember the show was, you know, it evolved into what became Wildcat Rewind. And we would have cameras all over the place before a game because it was, you know, to show you this, give you a capture of what was going on behind the scenes. And one of the cameras had, you know, been into where the training room was. And I don't know what they shot. I don't even remember. But that Monday, and they lost the game. And I remember that Monday, I'm going to, because I would do an interview every sit down with Makovic. And he comes in and he said, "Can I see you for a second?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You guys stepped over the line on Saturday." And I said, "Okay, what happened?" And he said, "Well, somebody's in the training room." And I said, "Well, maybe, but I didn't use that. I can't, you know," and I said, "I wouldn't use that." And he said, "It doesn't matter. The show's been suspended." And I'm like, "What?" Remember you told me that you were going to tell me when we step on the line, you know, I thought it was going to be one of those things, don't do that again. And it just was a nightmare. And every week trying to keep that show going. You know, Mike Stoops was a lot better about it and let us in the locker room and, you know, really gave us a lot of access. I went to his house a few times, you know, and got him before a game and, so he really did allow me to do a lot with that team as well.
At the end of the Makovic time, then, were you kind of seeing the writing on the wall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, and you hear that because once you lose the players and they're mouthing off, then you kind of know. And, yeah, I think it was kind of a surreal atmosphere, if you'll recall, at the end there. And, of course, that didn't end well. When Leibengood and him had that final meeting. But I think, you know, when it got down to that point, you know, you kind of know, what's going on. And that was not pretty.
Why do you think he lost the team outside of not winning?
Well, I think that it came down to that. And I think that a lot of it the players didn't feel that they were being treated fairly. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of them may have felt, I may not be deserve to start, but I think that they felt that they were mistreated in a lot of ways. And remember, if you recall, at the end there, even like the parents got involved. I mean, it was just So I think that it just you got to win. I mean, that's
the bottom
line.
Bottom line, right. Do you think you'll ever come back to sports? So you're kind of, you're not old, and I'm not old, but yeah. You ever think you'll come back?
Probably the college level. I mean, I don't, like I said, I can't even, I see what our sports guys go through.
Yeah.
And
it's not easy.
No, and it's not. And believe, you know, I'm not going to knock Arizona Athletics. I think it's across the board now. They're just very protective, especially with social media and the internet. It's quite different. You know, information gets out there. So they are much more protective across the board. And, you know, I would not enjoy going to those rooms and, you know, sitting there with everybody at a table and trying to get a few questions in and getting some sound. And, you know, it just, you know, to me, it was always about telling stories.
Right.
That was the part, you know, besides having to do that other coverage, but at least I was able to do those features and I was able to tell stories, which made up for it.
Right.
So, no, I don't think at this point I wouldn't. And I you know, I enjoy what I'm doing now. I don't like getting up so damn early, but I like what I'm doing, you know, doing the morning show here in town. And, you know, it allows me to, because I did nights for a long time and I did, you know, got back into reporting. But this is a little more personality driven format. And, I love working with my co-anchor, Alex Dote, and we have a really good time. And Jeff Beamish, of course, our weather guy. I think we're a good team, and, you know, I enjoy it. Getting up is a little tough, but then you have the rest of your day, and I got a lot more going on, and I'm able to, you know, I extend that day. So, you know, I get done by before noon, and then I've got other things going on in the afternoon. So.
Sure, sure. I want to maybe ask you one quick. Throughout the years of meeting people at Arizona, maybe your top one or two people or personalities you met.
That were the Arizona
mm-hmm. University
program?
Yeah.
Well, I think topping the list is Luke. I mean, when he is so, I mean, especially when I got there, he was very hard-shelled. And I know, you know, the history before. And I think you recall that, but I felt that, you know, you just had to, like you just kept showing up. You just keep showing up and you keep being consistent. And after a while, you kind of get through that door. And
I think Fair has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they knew that we had to cover stories that sometimes they didn't like, but I was always fair. I know you've always been that way. It was really great when I've seen Lute here and there, you know, and he told me that he's watched me in the morning and enjoys it. And, one night, I was out, it was one of the first dates I had with my wife now, and, it was at that Vivace Pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Place. And, so anyway, I walk in there and he's with there with Kelly and I see him and I'm on this first date with my wife Mary, and so I'm like, hey, I gotta, you know, this is great. So I you know, go by the table, like, hey, Lute, how are you? He's, oh, hey, hi, how are you? He says hello, and Kelly. And so we go and we sit down at the table, and, you know, go to the meal. I said, you have no idea what it took me to set this up. But he was really great. And then I saw them at Mr. Odd's a few months after that, and they're like, how did it go?
Right.
Lute certainly is the top of the list. A lot of the athletes that came through. Luke Walton was always a huge favorite of mine, you know.
Yeah.
He's just such a personable guy. And I remember seeing him in Channing Frye, too.
Sure.
I remember when Channing was playing with the Suns and I was working still for Fox Sports Arizona and being in the locker room, and he's like, hey, you know, how you doing? And so, you know, guys like that. I mean, just so many great personalities that with that team. You know, I can just go through the list. Of, you know, Mike
sure.
Bell was always a big favorite of mine. He was a great guy. Jason Johnson, I got to know really well, and he's doing fantastic.
Really well.
I don't know if you've
yep.
seen some of the videos this guy puts together, but he's really become quite a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I don't know. It's a long list, but of course, you know, being around you guys, you know, and. When you and I first met, I know it took a while for you guys to let me in, especially you, but you were like one of the first.
Well, you TV guys. You guys are TV guys, you know.
TV guys.
Us guys have face for radio, so, you know, we can't let those good-looking guys come in.
Yeah. There was definitely that going on, but I don't know what it was. I don't know who won who over, but you and I became good friends.
Yes.
And we have remained that way. And I tell you, you're one of those people too. You don't. You just keep going. I mean, you're adaptable. I love seeing all the stuff you do, and love reading your stories. So
great, thank you.
You're still a great storyteller.
Thank you. Well, reinventing myself has become one of my qualities.
Yeah, well, that's. I'm telling you, that's. I hope all your listeners and young ones out there, if you know, you have you know, the desire to get into covering sports or get into broadcasting. That's number one.
Yeah.
You just keep showing up and be consistent and don't give up.
Right. Well, Sean, I appreciate talking to you. I knew you would have some good stuff in the back of your mind talking about the good old days.
Yeah, we did. We had some fun.
Yeah.
We did.
Well, thank you again, Sean. We'll talk to you soon. Don't be a stranger.
All right, man.
Thank
I
you.
I won't be. I'll...
Great.
And good luck with the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bob, let's go to break, and we'll talk more on the other side. Appreciate it.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or LexusofTucson.com.
He finally did it!
What?
He got her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger.
Oh.
Guys, if you really love her, get her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99. Nothing says you're the best thing that ever happened to me like crispy bacon and black pepper mayo. One bite of warm, buttery brioche bun will leave her speechless.
It's beautiful.
Hurry into Sonic for the new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99.
Tax not included. See menu for details. For limited time only, participating Sonic Drive-In.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/best credit union. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you're among the 40% of Americans ages 50 and older who are still not getting tested for colorectal cancer, you're out of excuses. Under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will now require nearly all private insurance companies to cover virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive tests. More importantly, these tests would be covered with no copay. That means there are now a number of fully covered colorectal cancer screening exams available. Please talk to your doctor to see which of these tests are right for you. Don't be one of the thousands of Americans to die from a largely preventable disease that is nearly always treatable if found early. The best test is the one that you choose to use. There have never been more fully covered options to fit your lifestyle and your schedule. Take action. Get screened for colorectal cancer. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, please visit radiologyinfo.org.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back to everybody. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball, everybody, here on KVOI 1030 AM. Hey, what I wanted to talk about real quick, we have another pizza giveaway, Bob, and let me ask you your advice. Should I give out two tomorrow or do one now and two tomorrow because we have about 6 minutes left? Tomorrow?
You could do one today.
You think so? We'll get a call here in the next 6 minutes? Let's see who's listening.
If not, then you got more tomorrow.
Okay, okay. Let's say if we get our first caller in now at 790-2040, they can get a 12-inch pizza from Tino's Pizza. Bob had some there a couple days ago.
Good stuff.
So you just got to come in and pick it up. It's on the, over here at the office, and then take it to Tino's and get a, exchange it for a 12-inch pizza. That'll be a lot of fun.
Bada boom, bada bang.
Yeah, we say and they call. That's great. A lot of fun talking to Sean Mooney, a very good friend, an old friend of mine from back in the day when we covered U of A together, when we had a lot more access. But, you know, if you're listening to me the last 30-some shows, I've talked about access at U of A a lot in that time. It's not very good right now. We all get the same stuff in terms of media access. So all the stories seem and sound the same, and that to me is not a good thing. And the, what it means is Arizona fans who follow the program, the football program, and all the other programs, don't get different stories or whatever when they follow the kids. You know, you don't get to know the kids like they used to from when we used to do it a long time ago.
How many of these you want to give away? Just the one
today?
Just
the one. Just the one. Yeah.
So sorry for our other callers. See the lines ringing? I'll hang up.
Yeah, see, maybe. Well, just the first guy. Sorry. Do we have a caller to talk to me at all? No? Well, maybe not. Maybe tomorrow. But tomorrow we have a pretty good show. I'll kind of tell you who's going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm going to have A.J. Bramlett from back in the day, who was part of the NCAA title team in 97 with Jason Terry and Miles Simon. He's going to be on the show. And a guy I like talking to from way back in the day is the all-time scoring champion here in terms of points in a game. And I don't even know if I should say who it is, but it may be a secret guest for tomorrow and maybe have people guess. But we'll see if I decide to say who it is at the end of the show. He's going to be, I think, in the first hour. Why not? Ernie McCray. Ernie McCray has the single most points in a single game at a U of A game in the history of the program. And a very smart man, a Tucsonan. He's now in San Diego, I think. So I'll spend some time with him, waxing poetic on the good old days and his time here and what he's up to now. So as people who listen to the show know, I like going back and talking about how it used to be and some of the stories that never made print or some of the stories that are very popular in the program.
How many points was it?
It was 46. I'm pretty sure it was 46. It was either 45 or 46. I've written about this about 500 times, and I can't, now that you ask, it's 45 or 46. Damon Stoudemire came close to beating it, and I think Damon had 45.
Oh,
so
my.
I'm thinking it was 46. It was, that's a lot of points in the game. I'm surprised it hasn't been beat yet, and this was like in the 1950s, 1960s.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's held that long for a while now, five decades.
You weren't around then, though.
No, I was not. No. But it's made, people know I've written a few books, and that story's been in those books a few times. And there's been a lot of great players. The problem with those points is that you have these great players, but they're in team situations. So teams win titles, not individuals.
Right.
So, you know, unless you need those individuals to score 45 points, you're not going to get that situation.
So back in the 50s, how was the team that year? That
not so good. Not so good because he was relied heavily to score a lot of points.
They lost 46 to 15.
Yeah. No, but it was kind of like they lost a lot of games. I think it was the time when it was right after Fred Ink, and Bruce Larson may have been the coach back in those days. I think so. Maybe there was that transition from Fred Ink to Bruce Larson.
So a lot of threes, or this guy
run? No, just a lot of shots. A lot of shots. It was just a great game. I'll let him explain the game because it's kind of interesting how he explained it to me about that night and him. Back in the day, too, you know, you remember the kids were older, or not older, but they had families then.
Sure.
You know, it's funny, you look back, people smoked a lot, and they had families, they had kids. The times have changed.
So high scorers aren't so good at passing, I assume?
Correct. I'll ask him about that because I'm sure he was. But that night he was not, didn't have to be or did need to be because they probably needed every point.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, I don't know. Maybe he's a good passer, but
sure.
Making those many points, you're not going
to. Heck of a good player. Now he's like a philosopher, poet. Very smart man. Yeah.
Fantastic.
An educator. I think he was an educator for most of his life after U of A. Hey, but thanks for joining me. We had the FC Tucson coach, Darren Sawoski, and then we had Sean Mooney here in the second hour. A lot of fun to talk about the good old days and UA football, UA basketball. I will see you tomorrow, hear you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.